IFSA is an organization of fire service personnel dedicated to upgrading firefighting techniques and safety through training. Between their manuals, ebooks, apps, curriculum, exam prep, Resource One, and more, firefighter training has never been more customizable than with IFSA FPP products. Visit them at ifsta.org for more information. Did you know the risk of cancer does not stop at the scene of a fire? Firefighters are constantly exposed to diesel exhaust fumes and other airborne toxins that get trapped inside the station. Protect yourself with MagnaGrip through the combination of MagnaGrip exhaust removal systems and AirHawk air purification systems. Learn more at MagnaGrip.com.
All right. Welcome to another Fire Engineering Podcast, Networking for Success. I am your host, Dave McGlynn. Like I go through every time I do one of these shows, if I have first-time callers, I really appreciate it. I know with my guest tonight, he's a pretty hot commodity, so I'm sure I got some first-time listeners to my show. So with that, I appreciate it. Hopefully, I can keep you as a fan and following later on. But either way, showing the support for our guest is nice, and showing support for Fire Engineering Podcast is nice, so thank you. So if you are a first-time listener, I'll give you a quick little background of the show. The show's called Networking for Success. It is quite literally that. I try to have people from all over the fire service and all over our great country, to include our military, to be a guest on the show and network with them, talk to them about different things that go on, whether it be training items, leadership, or just life in general, about the importance of networking and how that can benefit you and bring you to some level of success in your career or in your life. Furthermore, the other nice thing about this show is that I can bring people that not all of us are able to talk to. So the benefit is that you, the listener, you're able to hear a conversation with that person so that you can get some tidbits and some nuggets of information to bring back to either your fire stations or into your life in general. So without further ado, I want to start by introducing my guest. So tonight's guest, I got Bobby Eckert. Bobby Ed is a second-generation fireman from Collingswood, New Jersey. Getting his start in the fire service as a junior in 1996. In 2006, he left Collingswood as a career firefighter EMT to pursue a career in the Camden Fire Department in New Jersey. Bobby spent 10 years as a private, being assigned to Engine 9, Ladder 1, and Squad 7. 2016, he was promoted to captain and is currently assigned to Ladder Company 1 at Fire Headquarters. He's a Pro Board Level 2 instructor, has a Bachelor's of Science in Public Safety Administration from Newman University. Bobby is a FDIC hot lead instructor and is currently a technical editor for Fire Engineering Magazine. Along with his wife, they own and operate Eckert Fire Tactics, LLC, an experience-based, street-smart approach to fire training. He currently resides in Belmore, New Jersey, with his wife, Brinley, and their children, Bobby, Ryan, Kennedy, and Reese. He can be reached all over social media and across the Internet. He can be reached through Gmail at EckertFireTactics@gmail.com. That's EckertFireTactics@gmail.com. He's also at EckertFireTactics.com, Facebook, EckertFireTactics LLC, Instagram at Eckert at 335, YouTube, EckertFireTactics, and TikTok, EckertFireTactics. Dude's all over. Just look up EFC, EckertFireTactics. Everybody knows who he is. I don't even have to really give you that spiel, but I figured I'd be fair to everybody else that I have as guests on the show and do it the same way. So without further ado, brother, thank you for calling in and being my guest tonight.
Thanks for the introduction, and thanks for having me, man. I really appreciate it. Excited to be here.
Nice. So we'll get started into it. So I start all my shows with the same way. I ask my guests the exact same question. So I always try to give a little background so everybody knows. So tell me a little bit about yourself, who you are, where you're from, and what inspired you to join the fire service.
My name is Bobby. Like my bio said, I'm a second-generation fireman. My dad was a fireman. He was the fire chief in the town I grew up in, the career fire chief. They had 10 career firemen at the time. They're probably like 19 now. And, you know, I just grew up watching my dad go to the firehouse. It was one of them things where I had no idea. I guess I thought everybody's dad was a fireman. I really didn't have any idea. And the bug bit me at a young age. And, you know, when I was 13, 14, I was a kid getting in trouble a little bit, and they started this junior fire program, and it seemed like a good idea to get involved, stay out of trouble. And I don't know if it kept me out of trouble or got me in more trouble, but I joined, and the rest is kind of history. Just kind of got bit by the bug and rode the wave.
Yeah, I like that you joined to stay out of trouble, because it's impressionable times then, and I didn't. We had an explorer post, junior fire department or junior firefighter program in Islam where I grew up, and I didn't join it, and I was too busy just being a teenage clown, and chasing girls and trying to do sports and everything like that, and I don't regret it because things we do, they shape us, but. I felt like when I joined the fire service that I had this kind of stigmatic thing, like people knew me as a teenager as like this troublemaker kid, and I saw that the juniors, the explorers, are like 14, 16 years old, and they're better than me at this, and I'm like, wow, man, like I'm kind of behind the curve. So that is cool that that you started that early in life, because it's very impressionable. It kind of sets the tone for making or breaking you into this thing of ours, so that's really cool that's how you started out with it.
Yeah, absolutely. And the guys that broke us in at the time, they really were go-getters, and they really took the time to make sure we learned the job at a young age. And, I give a lot of credit to those guys this day just for really taking the time to show us, when we were 18, able to go through Firefighter 1, we were no joke. We were ready to go. And it was a great time. I have no regrets at all. I mean, honestly, I forged a lot of great friendships. A lot of them guys I'm still friends with today. And, it was just a great time.
Yeah, that's cool, man. And that is like when I went through the academy, it was the same thing. You could tell, the kids that were in there that even though we were all 18 or 19 or, whatever the age was, we're going through Firefighter 1 and you could see that these kids are no stranger to throwing a ladder and hooking up to a hydrant. And I'm like, what the hell, and that's because they had been explorers for like 4 years. And like you had said, that those people that mentored you and tried to help you, it's really important stuff. It's a huge benefit. I encourage anybody that, if they're thinking about getting into the fire service at a young age, that they should look out or seek out, a local fire department that has an explorer post or a junior fire department or junior firefighter program, because it is very beneficial. As you see, with what you've done with your career, it just sets you up right for success. So it is good stuff.
It really does.
All right. So tonight's episode, we're covering leadership, the importance of networking and training. So there's a few parts to that question or a few parts to that topic, right? So the first thing I'm going to hit you with is, what is leadership's role when it comes to training and networking?
Okay. I look at leadership in different levels. Personally, there's like a senior firefighter leadership role. There's a company officer leadership role. There's a chief leadership role. So the fire service has many different variations of leadership roles that you can get involved in or be, be led by. And, my current role as a company officer, I feel that, training and firefighting are my main, morale training and firefighting are my main priorities at work, to make sure that my guys are ready for the next incident. What we do, I work in a ladder company, so, we train in ladder company operations, and we make sure that we're proficient and we make sure that we're ready to go for any emergency we're faced. And I feel, a lot of company officers take that very serious and try to have the same approach to it. But, I think when you throw the word leadership, and I've only ever been around the fire service, I really don't have anything to compare it to other than like a regular job that I've had. But I think when you throw the word leadership around, it can be digested in so many different ways, if that makes sense.
Oh yeah, sure. I totally agree with that. So I throw that out there. So just like you said, it can be digested in so many different ways. And it also, you got to get me on a tangent here. See, I told you this when I talked to you earlier, like, don't be worried if I go off on a tangent, So I'll quickly just say, become a buzzword in the sense that it's a very saturated market in the realm of what we do, teaching firefighters, spreading a message, right? So I believe that I'm a student of leadership. I have some experiences in dealing with leaders and being in my position myself and having the opportunities that I've had working for the DOD, going to different bases and different ranks and roles and responsibilities and dealing with different people that you kind of learn and adjust to that. But more importantly, just like you said, you know, like I asked that question because I'm always interested to see, especially somebody with a training background who also is a leader, you know, how they see the importance of it when it comes to like the network and training piece. And like, you know, it's not just to sex up the question by throwing the word leadership out there, but it's like, you know, we need that support as influencers, you know, as in the positions of influence that we have as company officers or as leaders or as even as chief officers. You know, we need that top cover. You know, we need the willingness and the mutual trust to be able to go out and train our firefighters and get that support, whether that support is through helping us secure amenities and different resources that we need to provide the training, whether it's to offer overtime in the career departments to folks that are going to training or to pay for different training for people to attend or whatever it is, right? You know, that's always been my viewpoint on it, and that's because in my experience, you know, I have unfortunately run into that situation where, you know, you want to provide meaningful developmental opportunities to not just your folks inside of your firehouse, but anybody that you can have a reach to. You want to try to give them tools that maybe you didn't get so that they can have a better way than you did. At least that's, you know, kind of my story. And it gets to be frustrating when you don't have that support from leadership. So not only should leaders want to train and train too, because they should be the example, but they should also offer that support to those that want to train and those that want to offer training. You know, that's just kind of how I always felt. And then with the networking piece of it, the willingness to communicate. Now, you're from Jersey, bro, so I know you're, you know, a 609 or pretty much. You're from below the Raritan River. I'm from above it, so we're different. I say Taylor Ham, you say pork roll, but
I like you know, grapple better.
No, all right. but you know, like, with us, like I know the politics from back home, you know, and I've been all over now to see that it's prevalent everywhere. It's like, you know, leaders with their unwillingness to communicate with the neighbors, you know, like, oh, well, I don't like that chief, so we're not going to go work with them. Well, I got news for you, bro. If there's a working job, you're going to work with them anyway. So you might as well train with them. You know, you got to get to know each other.
I think as a leader, you got to advocate for your people, right? And, you know, I learned this from my father that as a leader, you don't work, they don't work for you, you work for them. And I can say this with, I've seen in my, so I'm going to be 40 next month, and I've seen my generation, you know, the guys and gals that took Fire 1 in the, you know, 2000, 2001, 99 realm and have came up in those ranks. They really do play well with others, and they really do advocate for their people. And I've seen some ladies and gentlemen step up into some leadership roles, like as chief officers, and really have done some really good things in the last year or two. And I've been able to really watch it and be a part of it and live it through my training company. And you see that, and it's very refreshing because, you know, at times you can maybe have something happen negative impact your career or impact training or impact networking or impact something where it's negative, where when you see a positive, you're like, wow, kind of reinvigorates you, right? But, you know, I think the biggest thing when it comes to leadership and networking, you know, networking for success is seeing how other people are doing things and seeing how other people are making things work. I work in a place where,
amen,
you know, our training budget is very slim. So we depend solely on a lot of in-house training. That being said, we do a lot of great things. Like, we just did our bailout refreshers, and, you know, we try to keep as much in-house as possible, and there's so much talent to pull from to be able to do things like that, that you know, you got to get creative with what you have and make it work for you at times where, you know, maybe you don't think you can, but if you sit down and maybe poll your officers or have an officer meeting or just, you know, be realistic with your expectations, some good things will happen within that realm, in my opinion.
No, I agree. I share that opinion. It's and you know, we're the same age, so I'm with you. Like, I'm not picking on generational things or anything like that. I think that the beauty of our up and coming was we valued tradition. Okay, we valued why they loved for the most part. You know, why they loved the job and the firehouse and the fire service so much. But we were also able to kind of fill the gaps on some of the things that we were like, well, why don't you just do this, you know, and I feel like I would absolutely agree that a good majority of folks that are our age, they're capitalizing on this opportunity to fill those gaps and not make that the reality within the firehouses anymore. And then, like you said, you know, to add to it, just and I'm not going to pick on any departments, so I'm not even going to say the name, but, you know, another big city department just recently had the NIOSH report release for the unfortunate fatalities that they had on the job. And a lot of things, and they always come out in the NIOSH reports about training and stuff like that. But, you know, that's another city that doesn't have a great budget. And, you know, that's only a crutch. It's a shit thing, the budget situation. I live it too, working for the federal government. Trust me, like, I don't have money either, you know. But that doesn't mean that we don't train. Like you just said, you know, like, you guys find a way, because at the end of the day, you know, like, one, we love what we do, but then two is, like, we have to protect each other and we have to offer good services. So contrary to bureaucracy and the budgets, we got to make it happen. And, you know, and I think that that's another equal part in the leader's role is ensuring that, contrary to whatever obstacle is in front of you, you have to try to find a way to ensure that your people are still getting that quality training, because we become complacent and then we regress. And then lives are at stake. And I'm not trying to be like cliche or like doomsday, like, oh, doom, doom, doom. It's a fact, you know. I mean, just all you got to do is read the NIOSH report and see, any NIOSH report at that, you know. So, yeah, we could beat that up. I'm sorry. So, just, I'll go into the next piece of it is just, in your experience, why is training so important? And then also, how can networking with others help your organization?
I think training is important because it helps if you're ready for the task at hand, which is emergencies. I mean, we train for emergencies, right? We don't really know what the emergency is going to be when we go to work, or we're sitting at home in the volunteer setting, or we're at the firehouse in the career setting, or, you know, sitting at the firehouse at duty crew at a volunteer setting. You don't know what the emergency is going to be, so we got to be ready for it. You know, not everybody's going to fires every day. So maybe your fire is your low-volume emergency, but it's the highest-risk one you're going to go to. Or, you know, carbon monoxide emergencies, motor vehicle accidents, hazmat, whatever it is. You know, we got to be ready for the gamut of what we do. So I think training your people and setting them up for success from day one is getting them operationally confident in their job and whatever that may be, or whatever you're doing, whatever's in your firehouse, whatever goes out. Like, if you have a water tender in your firehouse, know how to use your water tender. If you got a tower ladder, know the limitations of your tower ladder. Know all the equipment on your tower ladder. You got an engine company, know, same thing. Know all the equipment and the limitations, know the hose lines, know the pump pressures, all that stuff. I mean, it's not hard to be a good firefighter. It's actually really hard. I'm sorry. It's hard to be a bad firefighter, in my opinion, because all the information is there. All you have to do is just, you know, get off your ass and go learn it.
If that makes sense. Yes. Yeah.
I see a lot of people, you know, how they spend their time in their firehouse is up to them. But, you know, if you're not doing something to Firematic every day to make yourself better, then you're in the wrong career field.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, and it's not to pick on anybody, because I got it. Like, sometimes days can be taxing, and you just want to be able to kick back and all that. But, yeah, I agree, man. I mean, even just 60 minutes of your tour, you know, I mean, what's an hour? You know, what are you going to miss? You know, I promise that we'll get back for lunch and we'll be able to watch Prices Right. You know, like, I promise. Like, you know, just like you said, you know, you made the comment. I wrote it down here so I didn't forget it. It's not all fire departments go to fires every day. So, like you just said, you know, you're in Camden. Now, those are – the listeners that may not be familiar with it, Google it. I'm familiar with it, and it was, you know, like an hour and a half south of where I grew up, and I very much knew where Camden was and what went on in Camden. You know, you still train with your folks. You just said, you know, you do company drills with them. You guys just did the bailout training, you know, and even with the lack of funding, you're still going to secure a way to make sure that they're proficient and efficient, you know. And you guys do go to jobs. You guys, you know, especially on ladder company that you're on over there, you know, you're in the headquarters station. Like, you guys do go to work when you're on shift, and you still find the importance and the value in training, you know. And that's what I try to say to people is, like, it's even more important when you're in a slow station because, one, you want to be able to maintain those skills and build on them, but then, two, is you have no excuse. It's not like you were fighting jobs all day and now it's like, oh, we got to pull hose. Like, yeah, we got to pull hose. Like, you know, like what were you going to miss? You know, like, was the recliner, like, having withdrawals because you weren't on it? Like, let's go pull some hose. Let's go do something, you know. And then even just building walkthroughs, meaningful things that are going to help you when we have an emergency. You know, I'm so glad you say it because it's like, you know, I feel like sometimes I'm alone. And when I preach this, it's like, you know, I don't get it myself. Like, you got to get off your ass and do it, man. There's no excuse, you know. Whether you're in a busy station or not, look at you. You're in a busy station. You're still doing it.
You never pass up the opportunity of a teachable moment, especially, you know, we have a ton of probies. We just graduated a recruit class that I was fortunate enough to teach, and then we have 11 or 12 more. I'm sorry, I forget the number. But are getting ready to graduate in about a month and a half, and then – in about a year and a half, we're probably going to hire 25, 30 more. So there's a lot of new blood coming in the fire department, and that's a great time to get everybody reinvigorated in the job. And, you know, and you were talking about leadership roles, you know, have senior firefighters step up in the leadership roles and, you know, have them teach a drill or have them show them something. And, you know, you're in a firehouse 24 hours. You don't have to be training the whole damn time. I don't want to be training the whole time. I want to eat lunch. I want to eat dinner. I want to have some downtime. You know, I'm excited to be away from my wife and kids for 24 hours. So,
yeah.
You know, you take the time and spend it wisely. You might only get one shot to do it because of how the day's programmed and what might come your way. So if you get that shot, do it. And it could just be something from taking a ground ladder out and extending it and throwing it up and doing some placements or carrying it through an alleyway or, you know, drags, carries the victims or messing around with your SCBA. It could be something so small and so stupid that makes you the more well-rounded firefighter. You know, the best firefighters I know and the best firefighters that I watch be firefighters are the ones that I call, like, utility players, that they can play any position. And they can play any position because they know their equipment and they know their job so well, and they always ride the position no matter what.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And like you said before, like, I'm the same way, man. Like, I got it. You know, there's room for downtime. There's room for us to just kick back, hang out, whatever, do movie night, whatever it is, you know. But there's other times where it's like, what's an hour going to do to you? Like, we're here the whole day. Like, you know, let's just kill this hour real quick. And sometimes don't even take that. You can really spark some interest and tap into some people in a 15-minute conversation explaining something about a tool. You know, and then they look at it completely different just by that 15-minute interaction. You know, like, that's I still count that as some level of training.
Sure.
It was developmental to somebody.
1,000%. And look at social media. You can literally wake up in the morning and watch people have gone to fire right before from the GoPro footage, and you can look at it. You can put it on the base screen at work and look at it and just talk about it. Not Monday morning quarterback it, but just like say, hey, if this was us, what would you do? Or
right.
Would you go over that fence? Or would you throw a ground ladder here? Or would you stop the engine there? What would you do? There is so much information out there that you can utilize on a daily basis. And there's so many things happening in the fire service on a daily basis, some good, some bad. There was just a police shootout in Delaware. I'm pretty close to Delaware. I'm about 25 minutes from Delaware. And they shut down the highway. I'm actually going to train on it tomorrow. I have no idea about police shooting. I'm not going to talk about that. I'm going to talk about the highway being shut down and, like, redirecting routes and stuff like that. Because it's going to pour rain tomorrow, and I was trying to think of something for training. And I kind of read this whole thing, and I'm like, yeah, let me talk about this with my guys tomorrow. Like, hey, what would we do if we rolled up on this? Because you know, that's not like a normal realm of emergency for us, but you never know. So, you know, that's what we're going to talk about tomorrow.
That's cool, man. That's some awesome positive forward thinking there too. Like that's, cause you're absolutely right. You know, like what would we do if you don't talk about it? So only your gears are working. You're not on shift every day and you didn't pass that information on. So you're like, I have this thing in my head. It's stewing. I got to just pass this on. What, how they receive it, whatever, you know, the intent hopefully is that they'll try to see it some way that you see it or appreciate it the way you appreciate it. But yeah, you know, just for the listener, take away from what Bobby's saying, you know, like, any little thing like that, you know, like where you're like, well, I don't really know what we're going to train on. Like, you know, like me, like I typically try to ask my company officers, like any input or feedback that they'll have. I'll even ask the firemen, like, you know, like, hey, what do you want to do? You know, is there something that you think that we should work on next month or something like that? You know, because I don't want to just dictate what it is that we're going to be training on for the upcoming month or months. You know, I want them to have some input because like that, I didn't know that story. You just shared it with me, and now everybody else that's listening, you know, like one of my guys might have saw a video or saw something on social media while they were scrolling through it, and it's like, you know, they may be timid to come out and say, oh, maybe we should talk about this. So then that's where that opportunity becomes a point of success for the training officer or the person running the training is, hey, you know, you guys got anything? Yeah, actually, did you guys see this on the news? No. And they pull it up on their phone, and then we see if we can get it on the big screen or do some kind of tabletop about it, just like you said, you know, because it gets our gears moving, you know.
It strikes a good conversation, and then it puts everybody at least, maybe not on the same page, but they're in the same chapter on something like that anyway, you know. But
right.
There's so many great things that you can pull from. You know, for example, you can go on Fire Engineering's website during the web, and you know, I know Pete keeps that pretty updated with the latest events going on around the fire service. So you know, you can figure out like what happened across the country and talk about a fire and say, hey, you know, what if this happened here? You know, there's Instagram, there's Facebook, there's TikTok, there's YouTube, there's all kinds of stuff. You shouldn't be sitting in the firehouse starved for a drill. There's so much information to pull from.
Oh, yeah, I agree. So talking about that, let's talk about your company, EFT. So tell us a little bit about your training company, you know, what inspired you to start it and what services you offer and what you're trying to do through training others.
You know, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to reinvigorate basic firefighting skills and get people back down to show them the basics always win. I hate the term advanced firefighting. It doesn't resonate well with me because everything I've done on the fire ground has been an advanced skill, and every advanced skill I've just built off of experience. So how I swung the axe when I was 14 years old, I might not swing it the same way, but I've learned through experience, and I'd like to show that experience to, you know, firefighters all throughout the country. I started the business kind of by accident. I incurred a really serious injury at work. I had a traumatic brain injury, and I was laid up for a few months. And I just had nothing but access to my phone and, access to the internet, and just kind of saw training and saw that, you know, I could do that better. Or, you know, I know guys that are in my circle that we can totally put something on better than this. And, you know, not to sound cocky or condescending, we just kind of did it. So I went and got the insurance, and my wife was like, well, we got to name it. And she's like, you should hashtag it. I'm like, well, what's a hashtag? I don't know what a hashtag is. So she's like, she's explaining what a hashtag was. And I kind of just went rogue and said Ecker Fire Tactics, and thinking that's my dad's name and what the heck, and it kind of just stuck, and here we are. So, you know, we offer basic firefighting training we're fully equipped, we're fully mobile. Our slogan is we're bringing street to you, so we'll come to your firehouse, we'll set up, and, you know, we do drill night contracts, we hold private events. You know, we're pretty busy, and it's grown into something really big and really exciting, and it's given me a lot of opportunity to meet and interact with the fire service on a daily basis, where I never thought I'd be able to do it the way I'm doing it. And you know, I meet a lot of great people. I really do. And like yourself included, I never thought I'd be here tonight. You know, if you would have told me 4 or 5 years ago I'd be sitting here tonight doing this, I would have laughed at you and said, yeah, right. But, you know, here I am, and that's how the cards fell. And, you know, I try to remain humble and surround myself with the right people. And, you know, through networking, have been able to bring on people to my business that bring an array of, you know, an array of talents that I can't tell you the people that work for me are what make the business what it is.
Yeah, that's beautiful. So I like, you know, a lot of the, first of all, I have to touch on this just because the way you just described everything and the way you spoke of it was very modest, and I appreciate that. And then the other thing that I appreciate is, because I connected with it, same thing, man. You know, like when I started doing this, I didn't think that I was going to be able to do it on the level that I'm doing it, and I'm happy. I never take it for granted, and I never want to get it away from me. I never wanted to feel like I'm a fire celebrity. It's something that, you know, anybody that listens to my show or that has had conversations with me, they know what I mean when I say that. You know, there's nothing worse than – so you talked a lot about social media and all the great avenues that it has, and it does, and I encourage everybody, every one of the listeners to use social media. Here's where I'm going to say the stressful part, for the right way. There are a lot of fugazis out there. There's a lot of people that, you know, they came up with a sexy name, and they created a Facebook page or an Instagram page, and, you know, they're regurgitating other information, which is cool. That is cool because, you know, they're sharing it, and that is a beautiful outlet. But nonetheless, you know, it doesn't make you some kind of an expert, and they do it more for the – not for the sharing or spreading of a message, but to be a fire celebrity. And you said a comment, and that's what I always say when people, you know, will ask me about, like even people that don't do what we do, you know, like my in-laws, you know, say like, oh, you know, like you know, where are you going this time? You know, like I was just down at Lake of the Ozarks, and, you know, and it's like, oh, well, what are you doing down there? You know, like as if they don't have firemen down there, you know, what are you doing down there? And, you know, and I say, you know, like I get to meet people from all over, and it's more developmental for me because it puts things in a newer perspective, but it also there's that level of like empathy, like where like people, you either understand what they're going through or they understand what you're going through, and you know, and that this that amazing feeling of connecting with somebody who you've never met before, just through doing what we're doing. You know, it's such a, I don't mean to sound dorky, it's such an awesome opportunity. And I stress that word, it's an opportunity. It's not guaranteed, it's not given. It is an opportunity that few of us do for the right reasons, and we benefit from it because it's that opportunity. But the point is that it is an opportunity for us to be able to spread a message throughout our fire service, to help our fire service continue to grow, as well us grow while we're doing so. So, you know, I love what you do. You know, and I know you're being modest with it, you know, you and your name and your company, they're huge, bro. They've taken off. They're huge. I got people that were texting me and calling me this week down in the local area that I work in Pennsylvania, and they're like, dude, that's so awesome. You're going to have him on your show. You know, I follow his stuff, and he's the real deal. And that's a credit to you because you're the real deal is the expression. You know,
I appreciate it.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew you were going to get like awkward, but let me finish with the point. But here's the point. Okay, is that where I want the audience or the listener to understand that, like me, I'm very methodical and purposeful in who I choose to be a guest on my show. I don't just pick somebody. Like you're one of the biggest names that I've had on the show, simply based on the fact that I know that you're the real deal. And I was like, you know, I got to get him on the show. And it was like how cool you are and accessible you are is I messaged you. I said, this is my number. And you text me right then. And you were like, yeah, here's my number. I'm like, yeah, you want to be on the show? Yeah, that'd be awesome. You know, like anytime I've called you, you picked up, you know, like because it's what we do. You know, we're here to try to spread a message and share a message for the right reasons. It's not for us to put money in our pocket or to be a celebrity. It's for us to spread a message. And what you're doing is valuable, and it's spreading the message, and it's teaching people better tactics and keeping people – it's growing our future of our fire service. So I applaud you for it. I think you're doing great, and I'm proud that I was able to get you on the show, and I'm proud that, you know, we're going to be able to know each other more intimately now. So, you know, with that,
I really appreciate the kind words. No, I appreciate the kind words. I really do. You know, it's definitely a fruit of labor. It's a fruit of love. I love every aspect of it. You know, sometimes some days are easier than others, but you know, I always just think about a few people that were really instrumental in my fire service career coming up, and the time that they took to show me a few things that to this day still help me out when times are tough. You know, on the job and off the job, if I can pay that forward in any way, I'm going to do that. And that's basically why we do what we do. And we have a lot of fun doing it. And, you know, we have a lot of repeat people coming. We're throwing an open enrollment class in next week. We have, 70 students coming from all over the country. And, you know, we just like getting together. We're like Blues Brothers, man, getting the band back together and, you know, just do our thing. And, it's fun. It really is. But, you know, I appreciate the kind words, and, you know, it's you got to remain humble. There has to be a sense of humility because, you know, I'm just a fireman. That's all I am. And I was able to figure out a way to keep a whole another side thing going with firefighting because it's literally the only trade I know. And I found that out real hard when I got laid off from the fire department, that being a fireman is the only trade that I have and that I know and I understand. So,
yeah, no, and that's important, you know, and that's why just the way you just responded to that is what, you know, proves that you are, you know, the real deal, and that's why you'll maintain that because of that. You don't want that to slip away from you because that's how you will lose a following is because firemen, we're a smart breed, man. We can sniff that, you know, when somebody's being ingenuine or whatever, we can sniff it out. So, you know, it is important. I want to just say one other thing real quick. You made the comment about, you know, I felt like I could do it better, and I'm not trying to sound like arrogant. I'm being modest when I say, but I just like, no, that's okay to say that, okay? Because if Henry Ford was the only person to ever invent the motor vehicle, then every one of us would be driving a Ford. But Chrysler and Chevy and Mopar, they thought, I could probably do a better version of that, you know? And that's up for an argument on which one is better, but the point is, those of us that have tried to do other things and inspire others and offer more services and other options is because we saw something we thought I can improve on that. It's not a disservice to the thing that already exists. It's just I found a way to be able to improve on that and bring it bigger or better or have it connect with more people. You know, so there's nothing wrong with wanting to do something better. That's how you got started into doing what you're doing. With how successful your company has become because you wanted to be able to provide a service that was better and improve on the things that you already knew. That's great, you know, and I want the listener to take that away too is I challenge them. I challenge you listening, you know, with the most modest and humility, not arrogance, try to continue to improve what we do because we are in an ever-evolving world. And when the world calls 911, the expectation is we already know what it is that we're supposed to do to mitigate their emergency. They don't know that it's our first time seeing it. So that is okay for us to say, I want to make this better. You know, how that expression goes, leave it better than you found it. There's a reason for that.
Yeah, find your niche. You know, like everybody has a niche. You know, everybody has a thing. Like, find your thing and, like, go after it. You know, like whatever that is. Maybe it's water rescue. Maybe it's, you know, high angle rescue. Maybe it's ladder company operations. Maybe it's, you know, something, but whatever you're passionate about, like if that's your thing, go after it. Don't let anybody stop you from going after it or trying to learn it better or, you know, teach it better. Or there's just so many cool things out there right now in the fire service, especially social media wise and people you can get a hold of. I always say this. I don't get any money from this. Although people ask me all the time, but the coolest thing that I think every firefighter in the world should have is an Anderson Rescue Solutions multi-loop strap. Tim Anderson out of Philly, who invented the strap. The thing is so friggin' amazing, and it has so many uses, and you're always trying to come up with new uses for it. And it has so many documented rescues of downed firefighters and civilian rescues. I used to move a washing machine by myself. Like, the thing is amazing, and it's ingenuity like that. Like, Tim knew his lane, got in it, and invented a product that has changed the fire service. And, there's a whole another generation out there sitting there stewing that could do the same exact thing. They really could.
It's funny you said that, because literally I was at work earlier. One of the guys mentioned that. We were talking about RIT, and he had asked. He said, if I was familiar with it, it was something that he had used. And I was like, yeah, that's let's see if we can get it in the budget, because you're absolutely right. There's these useful things out there that we can just bring into our fire services and make better. So yeah, that's actually an awesome example, because we were literally talking about it today at work. So that's too funny.
It's just cool. The young firefighter has so many options, more options than you and I ever had, and we kind of have to make our own options. Not saying that they don't have to make their own, but at least they have a starting point where I feel like we didn't. We didn't even have cell phones.
You're right. We didn't have the internet when we first got into it. YouTube didn't exist when we first got into it. You're right.
No. I mean, the information, there's so much information in the palm of your hand, where if you're ever starting for training, feel free to jump on my Instagram every Tuesday. I put a drill up. But, fire engineering, I can tell you, we're getting back to the roots. So we're using social media on doing a throwback Thursday, and we're doing a fire engineering Friday, where there's a drill on, Thursday and a drill on a Friday. There's something for you to talk about. So, there's information out there. There really is.
Yeah. Amen. So, next part of this is just, as an educator, what are some of the challenges that you face as an instructor, and how did you overcome those challenges?
It's a twofold answer. I look very young. I'm not... How do I say it's not sounding much? I look like I'm 25 years old. I do. I look very young.
Yeah, you age better than me. Good for you.
I'm like a Bordeaux. I'm like fine French wine. No,
right, there you go.
I don't get taken serious because I don't look my age. I don't look my experience level. So when you're teaching like that, you kind of. I don't want to say you have to show off, or you have to know your shit. You have to know the information you're teaching, and you have to be ready to be challenged. And when you're challenged, you have to answer in the coolest, calmest, most humbling way, answer back with experience. So, whatever you're teaching, you need to have the experience to back it up. If you don't have the experience to back it up when you're challenged, it's going to show through very, very fast. So, I've been in those situations because I look very young, but, we've had some interesting, drills that we've taught, and just trying to stimulate people. I always, to this day, I don't know what it is. I don't know why God puts these firefighters in front of me, but I always get the people that are claustrophobic. I don't know why. They come to me for whatever reason, and... It's a challenge that I love. I love curing the masophobia. It's like a labor of love for me. So I get that a lot. But I would honestly say my biggest challenge is just people coming at me because of that I don't look my age.
Sure, and I can I can relate to that. I'm writing a book right now, and there's a section in there where I have a thing about literally the very thing that you just said. So it's great that you said it, because I wanted to make sure I wasn't alone in my problems. I say command the room. You know, so we the incident commander, you know, needs to be calm, cool, collected, needs to be decisive, needs to there needs to be no doubt that he or she is in command of the incident, the emergency, and especially in the worst case, the fire, right? The same thing goes for the instructor. You're going to get people that think they can do better. You're going to get people that think that they're smarter than you. You're going to get people that are going to try to challenge you just because they want to see, is he really who he says he is, or is she really who she says she is, their resume check out, et cetera. And it is the same as if you were to be an incident commander. You know, I'm not going to let the junior firefighter, if they're going to come up to me and tell me, hey, chief, I see something that I don't think is right, I'm going to value that because we can change tactics or it's something I didn't see. But I'm sure as shit not going to let them come over and say, you need to transfer command to me because you're just doing a shit job, like negative. You know, I'm in command. So the same thing goes for when you're an instructor. You command the room. It's your class. It's your, you know, it's your lesson. There's nothing wrong with tapping into them and getting the feedback from them. It's the same thing as if you had another pair of eyes reporting something to you that you didn't get to see. You're not going to disregard that. So if you're bringing some valuable information to me, or even if you're challenging me, it helps me learn. It helps give me the opportunity of, hey, that's something I don't know, and I'm going to find
that
out.
And I was going to say, like, how cool is it when you're teaching that you get to learn from the person that you're teaching, like the students or the participant?
Absolutely.
I'm a Scott Pack guy. I'm a huge wireframe Scott Pack guy. I did get my start with the MSA elephant trunks, but the new MSAs, the G1s, I don't have a lot of experience with. And when I teach a class and there's somebody with a G1 in the class, or there's somebody with a Dregger in the class or Inner Spiro in the class, I literally walk over to them and I get them to teach me their air pack as much as they know about it, because here's my opportunity to get my hands on it. Here's my opportunity to wear it. Here's my opportunity to learn the pros of it, the cons of it, the regulator, the buddy breather, all this stuff. I'm able to get my hands on it. So let's go. Show me how you use your air pack. And when I put a student on the spot like that, I get like a 50-50 response. Sometimes they're really into it. Sometimes they're taken back by it. But, you know, you can really learn a lot from other people as well. It's amazing. It's one of the greatest things I love about teaching so much is I learn just as much from the students as I do, you know, from other instructors as well.
Oh, yeah, I agree. Sometimes more because of those interactions and the new people that we meet and the different types of tactics and equipment that they use or have. And yeah, I totally agree with that. Sure. I'm with you. All right. So, who are some people, if you want a name drop, you know, it's on you, it's not to put you on a spot. But, you know, who are some people that you've networked with that, and how did that benefit you? How did they benefit you?
You know, recently, you brought up Lake of the Ozarks. I mean, David Woodward is one of the nicest people I've ever met in my entire life. Just what a great person to have a conversation with. Corley Moore is another great dude from the Weekly Scrap who is if you're ever feeling down, now give him a phone call. He'll get you up and running. But a lot of people that I network with are the people that have I'm able to help them push their product, their fire service small product. Like, for example, Flame Decon. So Tara from Flame Decon, networking with her. You know, I met her through, you know, going through conferences or whatever, and we're able to get her decon soap out there, which is a really cool story real quick.
It's a good product.
She swabbed one of my burn tenders pre-flame decon and then swabbed them after use flame decon, and all the carcinogens were out of his body. Amazing. So, you know, we're able to help push her product. You know, Eric Allen from Fastboard, I don't know if you don't know what a Fastboard is, go learn. And, you know, just sitting there at a bar bullshitting with Eric and bullshitting with Chief Horst. You know, Chief Horst is one of my favorite people in the world to talk to.
So, he's the best,
you know,
isn't he?
He's amazing. And that guy seemed more fire than any of us put together.
I say that all the time. I try to tell people, I'm like, dude, this guy is like, he's amazing.
He forgot about fires. You guys have no idea. He's a great guy. But, you know, it's sitting there having a drink with those guys that really makes it, you know, all worthwhile. And we're all able to help each other and have each other's back. And I think that's what's cool about this whole thing. And then, you know, you'll be sitting there and then somebody who follows my social media page if people want to talk to me and have a drink with me. Hell yeah, have a drink with me. Let's talk. And, you know, that makes it even cooler. So, you know, I personally like meeting new people everywhere I go and networking as much as possible and trying to get the most out of every event that I'm at, whether it's locally, you know, or nationally. I really do.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm right there with you, man. That's my objective. Like, when I go to these things, like, I want to go, and I want to sit in some classes and take back whatever I can and interact with whatever I can. But the biggest thing is that networking piece. Even when I'm teaching, like, it's the same thing, you know, like, just, like, I was down at Lake of the Ozarks, and I've been teaching at FDIC for this year coming up is going to be year six, I think. And, you know, I've never gotten to officially hang with Joe Netter, you know, until the when I was down at Lake of the Ozarks, and even then, him and I were both teaching, so we were consumed with the time, but it was just cool to be able to talk to him and you know, kind of like just shoot the shit with him real quick, and now, like, I stay in touch with him on a regular, you know, and this is a guy I knew who he was, and I seen him out at FDIC, and it's just like, yeah, man, like, I'm with you, like, it's just those cool opportunities, you know, like, just I try to soak it all in, like, you know, anybody, if I can have a 5-minute conversation with any of them, even if the conversation was something that I didn't agree with, it was a great interaction, it was a great exchange, you know, like, it was just I try to tell everybody that, like, you know, networking, it's not to be play on words, it's just, it's free. All you have to do is just have a conversation with somebody, you know, and just the takeaway is just, it's so enlightening. And also it makes you think, because people are having engaging conversations with you to make you think, you know, and you get life advice. It's not just professional advice. I mean, it's beautiful, you know, to be able to network with people, how important it is in the benefit and the successes of our lives. It's just, I tell it to everybody.
Yeah, I mean, it's an extension of the fire service. It's like a perk. It's like I had a perk. So, you know, you go to one of these events or go to a conference or whatever it may be, FDIC, or maybe it's a smaller conference, or, you know, maybe it's even like something going on local in your state, like your state is throwing something. You know, I always, New Jersey State Fireman's Convention in Wildwood, you know. Take that time. Take that opportunity to get out there and meet some people and walk around, and I always have an open heart and an open mind, and great things will come from that. Don't go off anybody else's opinion, form your own opinion, and really, you know, just try to find out, you know, as much as you can about somebody. You'll never know how much you have in common with somebody who you never met before in your entire life.
Oh, right. Amen. You know, like you said, you know, form your own opinion, you know, so, like, odds are, just geographically, so you're a Phillies fan, right?
I am a Phillies fan. I am, yeah.
Okay. So I'm a Yankees fan, you know. So the not point in this, where I'm going with the – he goes, I know. No, where I'm
we
going
we both hate
this,
the Astros.
Don't,
got it.
Yeah, there you go. No, no, but the point in where I'm going with this is, you know, just because there's a difference of opinion doesn't mean that, you know, there's not going to be some kind of common ground. You know, just because some people see the world differently than you – doesn't mean you should be guarded and not be willing to have a conversation. Like, the end of the day, we both like baseball. You know, the end of the day, we both have our reasons on why we like those teams. You know, there's commonality there. You know, like, this is what I try to say to people is, like, you know, like just because you're having a conversation with somebody and the information that you got from them isn't something that you agree with doesn't mean that, you know, they're the worst person in the world or anything. And then just because somebody told you, I don't talk to that person, like, well, maybe I'm going to like them for a different reason, because all of us see the world completely different. So I might find something pulling back an onion layer that you just didn't take the time to pull back. And you know, the point of this as it pertains to networking is, don't be guarded based off of somebody else telling you shouldn't talk to somebody. Like, I guarantee that there's going to be something that you're going to take away from that conversation, you know. And you'll know if the person's full of shit, and then you can make your own determination on whether or not you want to talk to them again. But don't just do it. Don't not do it because somebody else told you not to, you know?
No, I love learning how people do things too, like how they operate. It's like one of my favorite things to know when I talk to people, like, you know, hey, how do you do things? How do you do this? How do you handle a house fire? like this or a basement fire or whatever it is. And my first time at FDIC, I got hooked up accidentally across the street and bumped into a couple of the guys from Chicago and ended up partying with those guys all night. And what a night that was. But, you know, it was just cool to hang out with them guys and just see how they do things. And, you know, I'm a big buff, so, you know, I follow Tim Oak in his photos. And, you know, listen, I met Tim Oak at FDIC for the first time. He texted me fire pictures. He just texted me fire pictures today. He texted me fire pictures all the time. How you doing? What's going on? Like, that was a networking thing. Totally. Like, I was man-crushing, and somebody introduced me to Tim Oak, and I was like, oh, my God, we got to get a picture. And now he texts me. Text me, he'll FaceTime me at fire. It's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No,
so, you know, it's all about how you approach it. It really is.
Yep.
All right, so wrapping up, I ask everybody the same question. It's an important one, so I'm going to give the quick explanation to the reason why I asked the question. There is huge value in how off-putting and off guard, even though every one of you guys that are my guests, you guys, I send you the questions in advance. It's always like, oh, wow, man, that's a good question. It's always the first initial response that I get from them. And it is with the fullest modesty. And I say this to people because it's not like, oh, well, you shouldn't ask somebody what their legacy is because, you know, people shouldn't talk about their own legacy. That's arrogant. I don't believe so, because we all do something for a reason. And that's okay to express that, especially when we have a platform like this, like with Fire Engineering giving me the podcast and having so many different followers of their product and listening to the shows and whatnot. Is I want my listener to know that every one of us have some kind of a reason, and every one of us have some kind of an objective of like, hey, like, this is kind of what I want to be able to know that I did when I leave. And that's okay, because everybody should have that, because it's the fuel. It's the purpose. It's the end goal. You know, like, you don't just throw passes down the field just to throw passes down the field. You throw them so you get in the end zone. So I would like to know, what type of legacy do you want to leave behind?
I mean, it's a tough question. I don't think it's going to be for somebody else to decide what my legacy is. I will say this. Is that currently, right now, the best feedback that I get is when somebody goes to a fire and has used something that we've taught them and had a positive outcome because of something we taught them. So if I can give positive outcomes to people when they operate on the fire zone and give them confidence when they operate on the fire zone and give them a place to enhance their basic skills so when they go to a fire, they're more comfortable and confident and competent, then that's what I'm here for. Because you know, if you would ask me this question 5 years ago, 7 years ago, I would have a different answer. Right now, it's about the fire service and making the fire service a better place and making firefighters more confident and operationally effective. That's what I would want my legacy to be. But that's going to be for somebody else to decide when I'm long gone.
See, and yes, and that's the beauty of it, is it's not up to us to decide whether or not our legacy is a success. You know, Lasky said one time years ago, he said, you know, a lot of us don't get to enjoy the fruit of our labor. You know, look at Abraham Lincoln. Do you think that he saw, well, I mean, I don't know about present times, but rewind a few years ago, but do you think that he saw, that he knew that this was how it was going to be? He never got to see it. You know, it's beyond his wildest dreams of staying the course in the 1860s. Very unpopular in the moment. You know, if people, if you, you know, you were to ask the general public, you know, what do you think Lincoln's legacy is going to be? You know, he's going to go down in history as the worst president in the world. And he's arguably the greatest president in the history of our young nation, you know, because of his tenacity and his ability to strength hold this thing that was so unpopular, because he had hope that it was going to leave a good legacy later. So, yeah, we may not even get to see if our legacy becomes true or if it, you know, and it is, you're absolutely right, it is not up to us to solidify if it's true. However, it is up to you, you know, the listener and everybody in it is in what we do, you know, to have some purpose, some reason, something you want to leave behind with the hope that somebody will have sealed that to say, yes, this is what they did for us. You know, it is very valuable and important. And I'll tell you, you know, the other important part about legacy, like you said, you know, five, six, seven years ago, you would have said something different. You know, like, that's the other thing, is because as we evolve, it evolves. You know, our purpose evolves. The thing that we want to leave behind, the thing that we're doing, the thing that we're driving at, our objective, that evolves and it changes and it improves. It modifies and improves, and that's great. That's the beauty of it, you know. So I appreciate your response. It was modest, but it was also, you know, like, you wanted to make sure, you know, like that you had some kind of a positive outcome on what it was that you do. And I think that sums up every one of us that do what we do, if we do it for the right reason, is the hope that something positive came out of what it is that I was doing. So, yeah, beautifully put. So I leave you the floor before we end the show. Any final words from you, anything you want to say, plug, sing a song, anything you want to do, go ahead, the floor is yours, brother.
No, I appreciate everybody listening tonight. You know, I know it's a Friday, and get in the holiday season. I really hope everybody has a safe and happy holiday and enjoys their Christmas meal at the firehouse. But again, if you're ever starved for a drill or information or motivation or a lack of anything, you know, reach out to me. I can always try to point you in the right direction. But other than that, I really appreciate you having me on, and I think it was a great conversation.
Yeah, brother, thank you. I'm looking forward to seeing you in April. We got to definitely hook up and get together and have a couple drinks and continue to shoot the shit. But I do, man. I appreciate everything you bring to the table and to our thing, and I appreciate you taking the time to do this. So I hope you have a great holiday season also, and you know, thank you. And for all my listeners, you know, thank you guys for listening in. I really appreciate it. I appreciate anybody that was willing to take the time on a Friday night, you know, like Bobby said, to listen in and hopefully we tapped into something. We got some kind of gears moving for you. So with that, thank you guys. This has been Dave McGlynn with Fire Engineering Podcast, Networking for Success. God bless. Stay safe and have a happy holiday season and bring in the new year just the right way.
Thanks for tuning in to Fire Engineering Talk Radio.